You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mamutsi, alongside me as always, three-time NBA champion, BJ Armstrong. How's it going, B?
Hey. Mo, it's only terrific today. It's the, final game before All-Star weekend?
Yeah.
Are you going this year?
I was supposed to go, but, you know, a few life things have popped up. And I won't be able to make the trip. So, not like that. Not like that. But, you know, life happens. Right. Schedules change. Okay. So I won't be able to make it. The good news is it means we can do a podcast today because I was supposed to be on a plane right now.
And, okay.
And we can go do a podcast tomorrow as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, so go give the people what they want. One thing I do want to talk about, you know, last night, you know, there's been some nights this season, I'm going to just be completely honest. There's been some nights this season where I've watched the NBA and I've just thought, why am I watching this? You know, there's been some nights, every night, there's been some nights where I've watched the games and I just thought, this is not great. But then you get nights like last night where I've thoroughly enjoyed, I was watching like four games at once at one point, and they had some great games happening last night. You know, Trae Young and the Hawks going into Madison Square Garden, going to overtime. Even the Timberwolves and the Bucks, even without Giannis and Dame there, they went right down to the wire. The Kings and the Pelicans, they had a close one. But the night started off for me with my Celtics taking on the San Antonio Spurs. The first thing when it comes to that game is, you know, I talk to people about basketball all day. I talk to them about basketball all day, every day. You know, people stop me in the street and they want to talk about basketball, so on and so forth. And sometimes people say things in conversations. And you know what people say, like, they'll say a certain thing in a conversation and then my brain just tunes out because I just think, okay, there's no point having this conversation. And my newest thing, my litmus test for NBA knowledge now, is when people talk about Jason Tatum. Because as soon as I hear someone saying that Jason Tatum's not a star player, Jason Tatum's this, he's that, he's this and that, it just tells me they don't watch the games. Because if you watch Jason Tatum play last night, that is a bona fide superstar. He put up 32 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists and a block as the Celtics took on the Spurs. There were possessions where he was matched up with Wemby, he's crossing him up, gets the hoop with Duncan. You know, he was just doing it all, especially without Jaylen Brown in the lineup. So now when people talk bad about Jason Tatum, I just think you don't know what you're not watching the games.
Okay.
You're not watching the games. You're just watching Twitter and watching ESPN.
Well, can I ask you something? How do we define a superstar player?
Well, I mean, the Spurs were triple teaming him at damn near half court. So in my book, if you're getting triple teamed at a halfway line, you're pretty damn good.
Okay. All right, I was just wondering.
What's the definition of a superstar player? That could be a whole episode. But for me, to be a superstar player, you have to be a top five player in the NBA. And I think Jason Tatum is a top five player in the NBA. Right now, at this moment in time, would you consider him a top five player in the NBA?
Here's what I consider a superstar player. Do you have the capability to do what you do on a nightly basis, regardless of who you're playing? Regardless, right? You're a superstar if you can get 28 a night, regardless. Double team, triple team, off night, on night. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I consider Jason Tatum a star player, right? When you say superstar, I don't really know what that means. Like, you know, like he's a superstar. Like, no, he's a star player. Jason Tatum is capable of doing what he is going to do every single night. There's only a few players, in my opinion, that have that capability, right? Is he a top five player to answer your question? You know, Jokic, Shea, Giannis. I think he's somewhere in there.
He's in the top. He's comfortably in the top five.
Yeah, he's somewhere.
Like
He's a
Jokic, Shea,
star.
and
Yeah.
Giannis, you could put those three ahead of him. But I don't think
I
you can
know.
tell me
Yeah.
another name that you put ahead of Jason
Yeah.
Tatum.
And the reason I say you're a star, like when you are a superstar, that means you stand above the stars, right? You're above. Like, for instance, Kobe claimed that superstardom. Jordan claimed that superstardom. Magic claimed it. I don't know if anyone's really claimed it in this generation. I don't know if anyone's just claimed it, right? At one point, you could say LeBron, he was there. I don't know if anyone's truly claimed it. Like, who would you say is the consensus player? Now,
Jokic.
you could say it, but has he claimed it? Like, has he just claimed it? You know what I mean? When I say claimed it, not just on the court, but off the court as well. Like, you gotta be all. You can't just be part of it.
I thought we just wanted to keep it on the court here, B.
Well, there's the basketball business, and then there's the business of basketball. The business is you carrying the responsibility of viewership. You're carrying the responsibility of merchandise sales. I mean,
Tatum
there
is
is.
consistently top five in jersey sold. He's on the cover of NBA 2K25. He's got a signature shoe with Jordan Brand that kids all around the world are wearing. So even though when you're deep entrenched into basketball, especially online, people like to hate on Jason Tatum, whether people are like it or not, he is a star player. And he is a superstar player. He's
No question. No, listen. You can't argue that, in my opinion, because he's earned that. He has played in big games. He's responded in big games. And regardless of who's playing at any given moment, I don't care who he's playing against. At any given moment, he could be the best player on the floor during a playoff series, during a game, during a quarter. He has that ability. Now, would I come in and say he's consistently the best player if he's playing against, those players that we named, for instance, we saw him play against Steph Curry in the finals. You and I were there. Steph Curry was the best player in
Absolutely,
that
but
series.
you got to think about that on the way to the finals. Game six against Milwaukee on the road, he drops 48 on Giannis. We got
Okay,
to think about the
I
year
just said he
after.
could, yeah, I just said he could do that. Okay, but when you say superstardom,
So
that
he's
means, for instance, you have to be the best player regardless all the time. He's not that.
so one series in 2022. When else has he not been?
Okay. When you watch Jordan, for instance, were you coming into a series and he's going to be the second best player? No. Did you say he was going to be the second best player in that quarter? No, he was the best player. He was the best player when he was on the floor.
Yes.
Okay. Now, at any given moment, is it capable for another player, like another star player, to be the best player in that game? That's possible. Like for instance, I give a prime example in that era. David Robinson was the MVP that season. But Hakeem Olajuwon, when they met in the playoffs, you could argue he was the best player in that series.
Yeah,
Okay.
he was. There's not even an argument.
Yes. Yeah. You look at the numbers, because when I say you guys, this generation goes to the numbers, but you got to
I'm
have to
going
the
back and watch
impact of
that
the
series
players.
because they gave Robinson the MVP on the court at the start of the series, and Hakeem took that personally.
Okay. My point being here is that we use this term superstar, a superstar. That means you have to be better than the star players. You have to be better than all the time, regardless of. You got to figure that out. I think they're star players. They're star players. But who is the superstar of this generation? I don't think no one has claimed that. I
Okay,
don't think
but
anyone has claimed
you're
it.
naming players like Jordan and Magic and
No,
Kobe,
I'm
who are in the
naming this
conversation for the greatest of
generation.
all time.
I'm
I'm
just
talking
giving
about
an
right now
example.
in the league.
I'm giving examples right now. Who would you say is the superstar of this generation? Like, who's above Jokic, Giannis, Shea? You know, prior to his injury, you could say Luka, you could say LeBron, you could say Steph Curry. You could, there's players, but
When it comes to a one
who would you
series, you
say?
could have LeBron and Steph Curry because that's just the one series. But we're talking about going through an 82-game season plus the
KD.
playoffs,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
right?
Who is head and shoulders above their peers right now? Who would you say head and shoulder? Like, who would you say, regardless, like they're the superstar? I think they're star players. I really do.
I
And
think
star and the star player should you should also compare that with this word, dominate. You have to
yeah,
be
that's
dominant.
Jokic. That's Jokic
Okay.
right now. Every
Okay.
time he's out there and he's dominating the opposition. Now, the other side of the business of basketball, he's not doing all the commercials and he's not doing all the off-court stuff and the personal brand and this and that. But if we're talking about on the court dominating the opposition,
So would you say he's having the same impact as, let's say, Tim Duncan? Would you say that?
that's an interesting comparison. That's an interesting
I'm just
comparison.
asking. Like, I'm asking. You know how we both think about Jokic, but again, when you say superstar, I'm not
But
lowering my
was Tim Duncan
standards.
a superstar?
You could argue that Tim Duncan, the business of it, you could argue that. You could say, I'm not sure. You know, he didn't have the same impact off the court as like the Magic Johnsons, the Larry Birds, those guys, the Dr. J's. You know, you can argue that. Was he a superstar on the court? Yes. Yes. He
And still off the court, I still see people wearing Tim Duncan
dominated.
jerseys.
He dominated his era.
Yeah.
He
And Jokic
beat.
is dominating every opponent he faces in this era.
No. When you dominate, you got to win. You can't just put up stats. You have to dominate your era and you have to win. There's a responsibility here that we have to hold a superstar to a level of excellence.
Well,
We
my hot
can't just
take
say
is I think the Nuggets gonna win this
you
year.
put up number. Yeah. Hey, if he does, he will continue on his journey. The standard is the standard. No one is arguing Jokic's impact as far as what he has done individually. However, if we say you're going to be a superstar, you must dominate, which is carrying the responsibility of your team. You can't just say, well, he's dominating, putting up number. Okay, that's fair. However, we're talking about a superstar. We're going to put them in the room of excellence,
Well,
right?
then in this era, since 2018, no team has ever gone back to back. So by
Exactly. That's
definition, it's no
definition.
superstar, right?
Superstar.
But
Exactly.
going back to
That's.
what we were originally saying about Jason Tatum, cool. Steph Curry was the best player in that 2022 series. Fair play. 2023, game seven, they've come back from 3-0 down, about to go back to the NBA Finals. Tatum turns his ankle, can't play that rest of that game. He's hobbling. Okay, cool. If he doesn't turn his ankle, they win that and then they go to the NBA Finals. Last year, even though Jaylen Brown won the MVP in the finals, Jason Tatum was the best player in the finals. He was better than Luka Doncic. He was better than Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
Would you disagree?
I'm holding him to superstar.
Would you disagree with what I said, though?
I'm not disagreeing with anything. I'm holding him to a level that where only it's rare. This is where the rare players hang out.
Yeah.
Okay, was he I'm not comparing. I'm comparing him with the greatest players who played and who are superstars. We said a superstar.
Okay, so if we're talking about on-court performance plus everything that happens off the court, who are the biggest superstars in the league today, in your opinion?
Today,
Yeah, give me your top five.
well, I think today with the totality of it, right, of taking in your performance on the court, and do you affect the game off the court, right? I think right now you would say Steph Curry. You would say LeBron James. I think you could say Luka. I think you could say that. I think, when you on the court, clearly Jokic, but what's the impact off the court? That's the when I say off the court,
Commercially.
commercially, when they travel on the road, is he filling up the arena? I mean, these are the things. You're a superstar. That's just the reality of it. When, for instance, when Showtime came in town, that was a must see. There were, you know what I mean? I mean, that's just what it is. What it is. I'm not saying this is the business. A superstar is going to affect on the court and off the court as well. Off the court meaning ticket sales. That's just what it is. Like commercially, are you going to watch the game? Those are the players. I think you could argue, like for instance, like Kyrie, kind of like he gives you the, you're like, well, let me turn on, let me see what he's doing. Like he
Okay,
had a
so
performance, he had a performance last night. You kind of like, we started watching the game. You're like, man, this guy, let me just watch. You know what I mean? However, because of the, I don't even think it's where inconsistency. He hasn't been available for whatever the reason may have been, as far as playing consistently night in and night out, right? But when you watch him in big moments, in big games, regardless who's on the floor, he's arguably the best player on the floor. That's with LeBron and Steph Curry on the floor. I mean, he is that good. He is that. Hey, when I watched him in the finals, you could argue he was the best player on the floor during certain games.
on the offensive end.
He was the best player on the floor. Offense,
We're talking about
whatever.
the 2016 finals.
Well, one of them. But
Because
you can
no, because the
argue
2020, 2024 finals, he was not close to being the best player on the court at any point in that series.
one of the finals where he made whatever the sidestep shot, which was
Yeah, the
the pitch
2016.
shot. Okay, whatever year that was. You could argue he was the best player on the floor during game, whatever. And he did it on the road. So you can, I mean, when you say a superstar, you can't just lower your standards based on like stats. You got to like take in
So
the
you don't have
totality of it.
Giannis in that superstar category then?
Well, I don't think Giannis is garnishing when people are saying, I got to see the Milwaukee Bucks on the road. If you're a superstar, you got to carry the responsibility. You got to carry the torch of the league. You got to carry the torch of the game. You have to want that. You don't just, well, I'm a good player, I get my numbers. No, there is a responsibility that comes with that. There is, we know the standard. You just don't pass this off. Like, that is my only thing. If you're gonna say, I want to be that, I want to be a superstar. That comes with the price. That comes with a price to say, I want that. You just don't like, well, I got my numbers. I did my part. I'm an all-star. No, like you're actually partnering and carrying the entire league and becoming the face. That's what you want. That's what a superstar does, regardless of how you feel or what you think or whatever. You are moving into that rarefied space where only a few have lived. I mean, who wants that? You got to give up something to take that. Once you become a superstar, you just don't like hang out. It wasn't like some of those guys were just hanging out. Most say, hey, BJ, let's go to the movies. Okay. Well, once you become a superstar, you give that up. Let's go grab a bite down in the lobby. Well, you give that up now. Let's go where guys used to walk in the mall. You can't do that now. You're a superstar. You're giving up something. You want to go to dinner. You just don't do that. You can't do that anymore. I don't think those guys are like that.
I think now more than ever, most guys are like that
Okay.
because of the way fandom has spread and because of the way if Jason Tatum comes to dinner at a restaurant, you don't think he's getting mobbed by fans? You think if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is in a restaurant that the fans aren't all going crazy outside?
There's levels to it. I can think of other people that I know that if they both walked into the restaurant together, let's see who the fans go to.
Yeah, but you're talking about the greatest players of all time. I'm talking strictly out of
Again,
current players.
I'm saying what I see, and you're certainly invited to say what you see. When I see, listen, I'm old enough to have seen like Muhammad Ali. These are superstars. That's a superstar. That's a superstar. Okay? I don't want to hear about. I know what a superstar looks like.
But I have this theory that superstars like Muhammad Ali and Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan, they don't exist anymore in the world. Why?
That's
Because
fun.
the internet has given unprecedented access for
That's
everyone to be able to
the
access
internet has
anyone.
nothing to
No,
do
no,
with
no,
this
no,
level of
no, no.
excellence.
Because in previous
I
generations of the
happen to have
NBA,
seen all of those people, by
in
the way.
previous generations of the NBA, right? Because we're talking about the NBA, the fans would market the players that they were being marketed. Right? The
Okay.
fans would see the players who were on the billboards, the fans would see the players who were on the commercials, and the fans would see the players who were on national TV games. Now, bro, like 12 men on the bench have fan accounts on Twitter who post about them all day.
I'm not
You feel what I'm
equating
saying?
fan
It's
with I
different now. It's different
you,
now.
no,
Like,
it's not
no, because even if
different.
you look at music, even if you look at music, even if you look at music, BJ, look at music, right? Who's
I
the
look at
superstars
it.
in rap? Who's the superstars in rap music right now?
Okay. I don't follow rap.
In hip hop, who's the superstars in hip hop now?
Well, there's only a few. There's only a few.
Who?
You have to ma you have to master your art. You have to master your craft. I don't equate popularity with mastering your craft. That's the difference between you and me. You have to
No, because you
master.
just said a superstar can't go into a restaurant. That's to do with
No, no, no,
popularity.
no, no.
Ain't no
Oh,
one mobbing a
no, Mo,
restaurant
Mo,
because this
hold
guy
on,
has
hold on,
mastered his
Mo.
craft. It's popularity. That's what you're talking about here.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm referring to. This is what you're referring to. When you become a superstar, you have to master your craft. You don't become a superstar because it becomes a popularity contest. You
Okay.
have to perform. Performance is the standard.
Okay.
Pop,
So
you can be popular. That's called a pop star. There's nothing wrong with that. When you become a superstar in whatever you do, you have mastered your craft. There's a level of excellence.
would you say to be a superstar in the NBA, you've got to have no flaws in your game?
No, that's impossible.
Well, no flaws that are exploitable enough to lose a
That's
series.
impossible. There's never been a perfect player. There never will be. But what I can do is that I can perform no matter what. No matter what. You figure it out no matter what. You've never seen who's been a perfect player? Name them. Have you ever seen a perfect player? I've never seen it.
My player on NBA 2K.
Okay, that's a video game. Where's the perfect player? But when you're talking about a superstar, right? I happen to have, I saw Michael Jackson. I've seen Muhammad Ali. I've seen these people. Like, there's levels to this. There's levels to mastering your craft to that degree.
Okay, so
This isn't a
let's take it
popularity
back to
contest.
the original question. By the way, none of this
Okay.
was what we planned to talk about today, but let's take it back to the original question. What does Jason Tatum need to do to master his craft in his game?
Yeah, just keep playing. That's what all
Well,
masters do. You keep perfecting your craft. He has time. You keep turning the wheel and you'll have a breakthrough. You keep winning. Keep mastering your craft. You don't just show up and be like, hey, I've done it. No, when you are a master, you keep going. You know, there is no stoppage. There is no
roadmap
to
say, this is what I'm
what
talking
does
about.
He need to do?
This is what I'm talking about, right? He led his team in scoring, rebounding, and assists, and won the NBA championship.
Just
so
keep
when
doing
you're
it.
Talking about becoming a master of your craft,
master
I'm
your
saying
craft.
which part
Master
of his
your
game
craft.
does he need to work
Master
on
your
then?
craft. Just win. That's it.
Well, he has
just
been.
win. Okay.
No,
Just
since he came
win.
into the league, no player's won more games than
Just
him.
win. Just win championships. And then when it's all said and done, we will we'll tally it up and say, here's the standard. And then we'll tally you up. That's it.
Well, you ready for
That's
a great
it.
segue? You ready for a great segue?
Absolutely. Like everyone wants to have like this formula.
Not
for a
ready.
Great. No. It's not a formula. Just win. Jason Tatum has been, he's been amazing what he's been able to achieve at this point in his career, right? Probably more than most. Right? He's been to what, two NBA finals now?
Two
he's
NBA
been
finals,
to
won one of
multiple
them. He's been to conference finals
conference
basically
finals.
every year that the Celtics have been healthy.
Just win. Just keep going. Like I'm looking right now at a Boston Celtics jersey number 6, right there, right in front of me. Okay. That guy's what has 11 championships? There you go.
But
he can look up in the rafters. He can
would
look
you
up in
have,
the rafters.
Would you have said that Charles Barkley was a superstar, though?
Absolutely.
But he didn't win a championship.
There's no formula.
But this is your logic and your standards is
okay.
Not
here's
consistent.
My logic. Here's my logic. Here's my logic. Charles Barkley not only affected the game on the court, Charles Barkley affected the game and was impactful off the court. He was impactful. He did it. He was a personality amongst a personality. And when he was with the best players in the world, you could argue Charles Barkley was the best player on that dream team. You could argue that. His impact, what he did, his impact of going to the NBA finals, his impact of selling shoes, his impact on the game, culture, world, he did it. Now, did he win? No, there was another guy that came about that was
okay.
But you don't have winning a championship in any era. You can't compare to another era when there's another guy that's in that era. Like, okay, so you played in the Bill Russell era. You mean to tell me there weren't any more superstars other than him? Because he won 11 times.
Okay, but 5 minutes ago, I said, how does he
no,
improve
no,
his game?
No,
You
no,
said,
no.
just win. You said, just
Okay.
win. That was your answer.
That is just win. That's the road. That's the path. That's the path. Just win. But I also said, which... are there any superstars in this era? We didn't have a consensus. I don't, by my standard, there's no one that has dominated this era. When you become a superstar, you got to dominate. I'm evaluating you on a different timeline. Like Charles Barkley didn't win a championship, but Charles Barkley dominated in his era. Dominated. Okay? That was an era where there were in my opinion, that had to be one of the greatest eras for like power forwards.
Definitely.
There was Karl Malone. There was him. There was Rasheed Wallace. There was Tim Duncan. There was
young Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, Chris Webber,
Rasheed.
And then we have guys Rasheed, and then we had guys like Derek Coleman, who we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Derek Coleman. You could argue was the first player, the first big player who was a stretch four. Okay. That it was great player. Derek Coleman was that good. There were players that were playing that we don't even talk about. Derek Coleman, you could argue, not only argue, I know he was as good as any of those players that I just named. That's how good Derek Coleman was. And we don't even talk about these guys. So when you know what the standard of excellence really is, you begin to see players, and shout out to DC. Anyone who's played in that era, you can ask Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, you can ask them all. Rasheed Wallace, Chris Webber, Kevin Garnett. Ask them about Derek Coleman. And I guarantee they're all gonna say the same thing. Oh
Yeah. So,
Okay.
anyway, I said, are you ready for a segue? Speaking of
Yes.
superstars, a player who's definitely not a superstar, Mr. Paul George, 2 points last night in a Philadelphia 76ers loss.
Did you really just do that?
Oh,
Why?
but I
Why?
remember when I used to do the
What do you
segues on
get out
TV.
of doing that to?
Should I tell you what I get out of it, right?
Yeah,
When I
please.
was like 19 years old, I did an interview with Paul George. When I was 19 years old, I didn't really have any money. I did the interview with Paul George. I said, I do this with all the players I interview. I say at the end of the interview, I said, can you look in the camera and say, I'm Paul George, you're watching Hoop Genius, right? And every player has been fine with saying this.
Except Paul
Some
George.
of the greatest players. Do you know what Paul George said to me? He said, pay me 5 grand. I looked at him, I said, what? My brother, I've never had 5 grand in my account. What are you talking about? I said, pay you 5 grand, say three words into a YouTube video. Are you crazy? And then he started laughing. And I said, anyway, Paul George, 1 of 7 from the field, 2 points. Max contract player right there. Great job, Paul. Anyway, I'm enjoying the podcast, Paul George, Podcast P, whatever. But the real segue that I should have done, is speaking of superstars, a player who has the potential on the court to be a superstar in the future is Mr. Victor Wembanyama, who was playing against Jason Tatum last night. And Jason Tatum showed the levels in a current top five player versus a future top five player. But BJ, I was looking at the San Antonio Spurs, and I just thought, right, they've traded for De'Aaron Fox, and everyone said, okay, cool, they're going all in now. They want to make the playoffs, they want to win games. But there's a little part of me that thinks they're not really trying to win games. Because some of the rotations and some of the ways that they're playing are a little bit confusing to me.
Okay.
Stephon Castle, before De'Aaron Fox came there, he was getting like 30 minutes a night. Now he's coming off the bench getting like 20, 24 minutes a night. They're still starting Chris Paul. Maybe they made a promise to Chris Paul when he signed with them that he would be the starting point guard regardless of what happened. But I'm just looking at the Spurs and I'm thinking, do you guys really want to make the playoffs, or do you really want to get a top 10 pick from you and a top 10 pick from the Hawks and keep rebuilding? What are your thoughts on the San Antonio Spurs currently?
I think the Spurs have gone through a lot on the court and off the court this year. Okay. Starting with their leader, Greg Popovich. I think that is
Yeah.
where I want to start. Okay. And shout out to Coach Pop. Hopefully, he's had some health issues. So let's start there with their leader. He's been the leader of this organization, what I don't know, seems like forever. 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And within the organization. Now, when you look at Victor, because Victor is the face. He has the potential to be the face. He has it, whatever it is. He has it. Okay. He's shown the ability that the lights aren't too bright. He has responded as a young player. He has suddenly gone from, you can argue they were tanking last year to suddenly now we're talking about them right now. We expect them to win. They've kind of changed the narrative. They've traded for a max player now. And now they've kind of moved into a different realm where we're expecting them to get to the playoffs. Okay. I've said this when I first saw that young man years ago playing in France. And then I'm going to say it again. When you have these players at this size, Wembanyama, Bobo, you must approach the game with from a creative viewpoint and figure out how to utilize these players because you can't just put them in a box. I have said it then, I'll say it now. I don't think Victor is a center. He may settle at the center later in his career, but right now he's not a center. He doesn't think like a center. I mean, guy comes down, he's shooting one-legged threes off one leg. He's shooting threes off of one leg. He's nutmegging people. He's doing things that you don't see a man his size do. When you have a tall player like this, okay, his power forward right now is Harrison Barnes. I don't get it. Now, I keep saying this. When you look around the league now, the teams that are the better teams in the league, everyone's going big with their front line. Let's take your Celtics, Al Horford, and Porzingis. And there was no Jaylen Brown last night, correct?
No,
Was it
Jaylen Brown.
no Jaylen Brown? So they're big. Cleveland Cavaliers, they're big. The Milwaukee Bucks, they're big. Oklahoma, they're big.
When they get healthy.
Yes. You have the Memphis Grizzlies, they're big. Okay. You're starting to
Houston.
see this trend. Okay.
I don't know if Houston you'd say the same thing about.
Okay.
But they
I
got an
didn't
old
say,
school, they get
oh,
a five.
I did. You can argue that the front line of the Denver Nuggets, they're big. Because what's his name is 7 feet. Michael Porter Jr. He's 7 feet, right? Small
Well, also
forward
Aaron
position.
Gordon isn't insanely tall, but he plays
Big.
above the rim like no one else.
Okay. You can look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're big. Okay. So now you're starting to see, and by the way, the Dallas Mavericks, when they get healthy, if they get healthy, they're big. Okay. So you can see now what's going on around the league. All right. You can see it. Now, I think it's time to address the issue of Wembanyama. Wembanyama is without question a defensive player of the year. He may be defensive player of the year this year. But you're going to have to address the situation with their front line first. And the thing they're going to have to address more than anything is they got to bring a level of physicality to be able to play with the bigger players in the league. That's just the fact. Now, when they're going to do it, hey, I don't know. I like Harrison Barnes, but Harrison Barnes playing against those other guys at the power forward position, no. Okay, I'm watching him guard Porzingis last night. No, that's not happening. There's just too much size. The second, I keep saying this and keep harping, they must bring a level of physicality to the game so that you can play when the game gets physical. Right? You can't let Zubac and all of these guys just push everyone around. Valanciunas, all these are big people. You got to be able to play that. Third, De'Aaron Fox is the starting point guard. Like, you're going to have to do that. De'Aaron Fox is an all-star caliber player. He's a max player. Put the ball in his hand and let's figure it out. Fourth, Castle. I thought you did a great job of keeping him. Now you got to start him because you got to develop him as fast as he can. Why? Because he is going to be part of your future. So you got to start him. Okay. Now, Chris, you have to protect Chris at this stage of his career because we know Chris Paul has been injury prone. At this stage, if you can have Chris Paul anchoring your second unit and maintaining his minutes, 25 minutes and below for the course of the season, you have a better chance of him being healthy in the playoffs because we know he's had some health issues coming down the stretch of the season for various reasons. But more importantly, I can't think of a better backup player at this stage of his career than Chris Paul. His leadership, he's basically a starter, and he anchors your team. I can't think of a better situation at this stage of his career for him. You have Victor, you must maintain what is his advantage, size. You don't want to, you heard me complain about this for the last 2 years with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have all this size up front, and then they have
Small guards.
small guards. Okay. Because when you get to the playoffs, you can't play against Shea and these guys with small guards. You can't do it. And I'm sure there are others. So I think now you got to get a power forward who's going to do all of the dirty work, play with the physicality, be able to guard In my opinion, you want to have a big plan next to Victor that can always guard the other team's best interior player. Reason being is so that Victor can just float around the court and just be a disruptor of a magnitude that we haven't seen. Right? You just let Victor kind of float around and he blocks all the shots, he rim protects. He may not be the first line of defense, but I can't think of another player that would impact the game better than him if he's the guy that's blocking the shot, a la Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson
2022
Jr.
Rob Williams. They
There
would
you
do. They would keep him in the weak side help
And
position,
this is
regardless of what the
listen.
other team ran. It didn't matter which player was in that corner. He would
He was
stay in a
safe.
weak side help,
There
just
you
so he can
go.
come across the lane and block the
I,
shot.
I, 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 that's what I see. I think you have to. Victor is so fascinating that you got to have an imagination with him. You can't just say, "Well, I'm gonna put him at the center position and play." No, he's not that. You got to move him around the court, do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and allow the other people to play traditional basketball, and then allow him to be like, "Wow, how did he do that?" I mean, he had a block against Charlotte. He just blocked it. I mean, he didn't even
He
jump.
snatched it out of the
He just
air
said,
with
"Yeah."
one hand.
So, in my opinion, this is a work in progress. De'Aaron Fox and Stephon Castle, I think when it's all said and done, will be their starting guards. Victor is, I'm just going to put him at the forward position. That way he can move around the court because you just don't want to put him under the basket. You don't want to utilize him just as a center. And then you got to figure out the other things around him, right? You got to figure out, in my opinion, a small forward who can create, play the game, and do all of the things defensively, offensively that you're going to need to do playing with him. Because Victor is just, he's too special of a talent. You can tell he's not just the center. The way he plays, like he's just shooting three. Like he'll just come down and just shoot a three casually for like no reason at all. And you got to make sure that you keep him engaged in the game so that people just can't beat him up. Right? Because in my opinion now, this is my opinion, he's playing on the perimeter a lot. And the reason being is because he's just not physically strong enough yet to go and when they switch and do other things. He's just not strong enough yet. That's just a matter of him maturing and getting stronger. But in saying all of this, you still like their team because at any given night, you have a player like Victor and you have another player like De'Aaron Fox, who are capable of getting 30 a night. They're both, I think they just scored 30. Both of them had 30 in one game just this week or last week or something. When he got, and then you have Stephon Castle, who is just coming on. Now I mean, he's getting 20 off the bench. He's figuring things out as well. So they are a work in progress. I think, you just got to give the ball to De'Aaron Fox and then figure it out on the fly. I think you got to give it to him. Because he's too fast. But you got to play to your size. And Victor's size to me is just what makes the team could be like exceptional. Because he can switch, he can block shots, he can just play and you can do things with him. But in saying all of that, it's really hard to do this mid-season. You start trading for players, inserting players, and doing all these things. But I would love to see them utilize him in a way where you just allow him to roam. He's kind of like a, he just figures out, you just figure out where to put him during the course of a game so that he can just disrupt the other team's offense. Because he can do that all by himself. But I think they are probably going to have to figure that out. That's easy for us to see it because we're not coaching the team. We don't know what's going on with their size, what they're trying to do. Maybe Victor wants to be a center. Who knows? I don't know that. But based on what I can see, I would love to just let him disrupt the other team just to figure out how do you supposed to get to the basket with him? Because he's always coming from the weak side, or he's always in the position to protect the rim. And I think that would be, I mean, he's already special defensively, but I think that would just be epic, what he could be in the NBA as a defender.
I don't know if he wants to be a center. I know he wants to win. So, San Antonio, it's time to start locking in. Let's see what happens.
They are. I mean, what is this, year two for him now?
Yeah.
This is year two, and it's coming. It'll be here. But certainly I love it that he's raised the expectations. That's what I love. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's done that in year two, that says a lot in itself. And the fact that we expect them to win games on the road, that says a lot too.
Yeah.
But as you know, winning is hard to do in this league.
Yeah. Well, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Join the conversation in our Discord, link below. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. So until then, get buckets.